Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
In this special audiocast, we talk to a former pot smoker and surfer, now worship leader. How does this happen? Well, sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion with my special guest, Andrew Laubacher. He goes by A-Lob. You're going to hear all about his amazing conversion to Catholicism after really living a very challenged life. And we're going to find out if he has the gift of healing in this deep dish discussion. And you want to stick around for my carry out order, where I kind of reflect on conversion and how you can keep your kids Catholic even while they're in college. And this discussion is brought to you by Catholic Speakers Organization. They provide a lot of events and parishes and missions with the best presenters, speakers, and as well as singers, including Andrew Laubacher and myself. And so if you want to have a dynamic experience of Catholic presentations, make sure you visit CatholicSpeakers.com. And we're going to be back with Andrew Laubacher in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. I have got A-Lob, also known as Andrew Laubacher, and he is a musician. Do you even have a band name, by the way?
It's A-Lob.
You're kidding me. Your band is called A-Lob.
Yeah, it's my nickname.
Is that like Bob Law, blah, blah, blah?
Well, my name's Andrew Laubacher.
Yep.
Freshman year of high school, no one could say Laubacher. So one guy started like,
no one can
A-Lob.
Say Laubacher?
No, if you read it, no one says it right. They say Laubacher.
It's ridiculous.
Laubacher, Laubschner.
So you go by A-Lob.
So A-Lob, it just works, man.
And A-Blob, which you are not. You are a feisty.
I'm very skinny.
You are kind of thin. It makes me sick, and I hate it. But you also are a band leader for different groups. So in full disclosure, we are here at a Steubenville Youth Conference in North California. But more importantly, you have some really weird background stuff that I just want to get into.
Great.
Because you're a weirdo.
Totally.
In many ways. You're also a good friend, but you're still a weirdo.
Right.
And one of the big weird things about this is that you should not be a good candidate for leading worship, leading people closer to Jesus.
I totally agree.
Why? And I don't want to go through your whole vocation story or your whole conference things, but just tell me reasons why you should not be leading worship music.
Well, I think sometimes people, I was even listening to Peter Kreef the other day, and he talks about how, like, I think of him, like, that guy must pray 16 hours a day.
Yeah, people that listen to this show aren't going to know who Peter Kreef is.
Great.
So, but Peter Kreef is a philosopher.
The analogy is simply, you'd think this guy is super holy and prays all day. He, like, doesn't have a lot of prayer time, but he's, like, speaking these things that I'm, like, amazed. So, I think in these spiritual settings, my prayer life is so sporadic.
Yep.
Like the times I'm trying to meditate or like connect with Jesus is very sporadic. Yeah, I'm not the best singer.
No, you're a great singer, actually, and you're a great musician.
I don't think I'm
that good. But as far as, oh, no, you're very good.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm there's a people. Now, see, that's like one of the.
There are people who are
crazy
certainly
better than me.
Better than you, certainly. And there are certainly priests who are better than me. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be because
I'm not.
You
perfect.
Don't look like a Christian guy. Oh, number one, you're right. Kind of like a hipster.
I guess that's the identity that I
millennial
have.
Hipster.
Right.
You got a beard.
Yeah, which I don't
all
even
of your
know.
Jeans have rips in them.
No, this one doesn't.
No, it's not a jean.
Oh, good point. No, I have other jeans that don't.
But also, you weren't even a very good Catholic at one point.
Right.
Tell me, what is it that made you into what you are now?
You mean like transitioning from like not believing in my faith and all
yeah,
that stuff?
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah, I mean, I got caught by the cops and then I realized that that life sucked. And
why'd you get caught by the cops?
I rode through a stop sign and I had drugs in my car.
What kind of drugs?
It was a lot of weed.
Okay.
And in 2009, that was really illegal.
Yes.
So, you know, sitting back of a cop car and I was like, man, this sucks. I ended up missing my court date.
Why?
Because I was really high.
So you are truly...
Well, no, I was just your average partier, right? Like, I wasn't...
Average partier.
Yeah, I was like...
From Ventura, California.
Yeah,
like so I you were a little bit richer than most average partiers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but your average partier in that context wasn't doing crazy stuff. It was like, for us, it was just weed and drinking and stuff. And
uh-huh.
So that
you
was...
You weren't even of age, were you?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
this
okay.
is when I was like... Started when I was like 14.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is when I was 18 is when I got caught.
Okay.
So that was kind of what woke me up, and then I went to on a conference.
Now, again, when you talk about this conference, and the reason why we're even talking about this is because, you know, I usually interview people who are very opposite of me.
Yeah,
and
great.
In a way, you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're very opposite. You're young, yeah. First of all. You're skinny yeah. and disgusting. And but you're also, I mean, I didn't grow up smoking weed, to be honest
yeah,
with
right,
you.
Yeah, right, right.
But you did.
Mm-hmm.
What made you go to a conference? Who forced you to go to
my
a conference?
Mom.
Your mother.
Yes. Well, after they, like, we had to go through the court situation. Like, my dad and I, you know, went to court. I was, like, pooping my pants.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it was a traumatic experience. And my mom was like, go on a retreat. I'm like, okay. And then I had a moment in adoration, which is a form of prayer in the Catholic faith.
And that's right.
And it was transformative. It was an initial boost. I would say I've had hundreds of moments since, but...
Uh-huh. And when you go to this conference, first of all, I think people don't know what to expect, and so...
For sure.
It's a lot of just Jesus-y, praise-worshipping
right.
things, and that was not you.
No. I'd experienced that stuff before, but it was never a part of my, like, day-to-day.
Okay, and this is why I want to talk about it, because
yeah.
you are almost a product of your generation.
Yeah.
Typically, you would not have liked going to this... praise and worshipy stuff,
right.
but you have had experience before of praying, going to church.
Right, yes. We went to Mass. I mean, I was also, like, hungover at Mass.
Okay.
Or, like, was partying the night before. I mm-hmm. was forced to go to church, so I was still living a very...
crazy life.
Yeah.
Well, just typical of that.
Very typical,
and
yeah.
So, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you've had at least some inkling of what Christianity is about.
Oh, for sure.
What about for people who have no inkling right. to Christianity? They approach something like this. Are they going to, like,
well, dude, there
rebel?
Was a, there was a guy at my high school
mm-hmm.
that I've spoken to now, you know, 8 years after graduation, and we partied together. I mean, this was, like, one of my best friends in the group. And he was just talking to me recently, and he's, like, never experienced anything religious or religion. I mean, their parents are atheists.
Okay.
And he's encountering, like, deep suffering, you know, and he's, like, wondering, like, it seems like people need faith to survive, but he has no context of religion. And this was one of my best friends in high school. So, like,
sure.
down the street from me.
You never talked about religion
no,
with him back
then.
No,
very different experience, you know. So that was a wake-up call for me. Like, this guy has literally no idea.
And so if somebody comes without any context of
yeah.
Christianity, they're going to come here and they're going to think we're really weird.
For sure.
So,
I tell people all the time, like, this is strange.
Yeah, so why would people come? I mean, this is not brought to you by Steubenville University, you know,
right, right.
and conferences.
Why
Because I
want to
talk,
or?
The reason why I'm even having this conversation is because this is not a normal experience of their Catholic faith or
For
faith
sure.
in general.
Right.
This is, like, seriously intense stuff.
Right.
So
why should they?
Yeah, why should they come if they're not going to have a context or if they just feel like, I don't really care about church? And
right. Well,
but
that's
I'm
the
here.
Thing. That's the average millennial response is, I can still be good and I don't need church.
Yep.
I think we all find our church somewhere, whether it's CrossFit or your hipster coffee shop. Or, I mean, the thing is, we intrinsically desire community. And I guess what I would share with them is that they're not as far from God as they think. I think people really are convinced that, like, if they walk into a church, they're going to get zapped by lightning, you know?
I'm yeah.
Like, honestly, you're trying to be a moral person, which, if there is no God, makes no sense. I mean, you know, philosophers have said, like, if there's no God, everything is permissible. I mean, you're living a moral life. You're trying to love people, at least be a good, you know. Most people are like, I don't want to hurt anyone. Like, so I just kind of probe those questions, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you want to hurt anyone? Why do you want to be a good person?
And so you had this moment at your first youth conference thing. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd had experience of going to churchy things. So, but I guess for me, it was a real internal shift of not this, yeah, lightning bolt strike or this voice from this audible voice. It was like a piece in my soul that was like different, and I knew that the words of Jesus were true. It was like a convicting, like...
Have you ever been convicted
no,
like that before?
Oh, God, no. No, it was like, oh, wow. Like, I realized my own wretchedness, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was the shift for me. Like, I realized how messed up I was, and then I realized, like, the words of Jesus so penetrated my heart that it was like, whoa, this is different. And then that moment propelled me into an intellectual search, into a spiritual search that kept being confirmed the more searching I did.
Okay, so you actually did something about it, because a lot of people
yes.
will go to an event or an experience, yes. a weekend, a conference, a retreat,
yeah.
and they're going to feel great, and then they just kind of fizzle out.
Right. I was desperate for truth. Like, I was watching hours and hours of debates between atheists and Christians, and like, why can we believe the Bible? I mean, my questions were the average young adult questions, like, hasn't science disproven all this stuff? How can I believe the Bible isn't just a telephone game? Like, how do I know these words are true?
And if you aren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing?
Oh.
Like, did you have a plan? I'm going to become a blank.
I always wanted to be a professional surfer.
A professional surfer. So mm-hmm. this is giving people a picture yeah. of who you are in your
well,
life.
Well, and I was doing rock and roll. So I wanted to do, like, Led Zeppelin and, like, rock and roll.
Yeah. Know? So you're a musician. You're a surfer.
Yeah.
You're a dude.
Yeah.
And you were high. And now,
right.
yeah, I mean, that kind of
yeah.
describes it.
Yeah.
And now you
and
are
I was
literally.
Pretty agnostic atheist.
Pretty right? agnostic atheist. Yeah. You just want to, like, get your
I just
parents
didn't
to
care.
Fight.
Yeah.
So you just went to church without
no,
caring.
No, I got in fights all the time with my parents about it.
Okay.
I told my mom that the Catholic Church is trying to brainwash me.
Okay, so this is giving a lot of families hope right now.
Yeah.
So, but not everyone's going to have the experience
right.
of going to these conferences and
right.
hearing amazing speakers and
right.
seeing the music. So what do they do? What kind
yeah.
of advice would you give to them?
Well, the problem is I think we're so good at distracting ourselves from these questions that we don't even think about them. So I think first allowing people to even think about, yeah, what is our end, why we're here? Those initial, I'd say, core human questions, allow yourself to start asking those. Blaise Pascal said all of humanity's problems stem from the fact that man cannot sit alone with himself for just 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we just allowed a little bit of space to, like, just maybe stop the distraction, these questions would maybe be probed a little more. And then I would just start, like, talking. Like, maybe if there's someone of faith, you know, ask them why they believe, you know. I don't think you need to just start going to church and, you know, like, church isn't the answer to this stuff. Like, don't just go to a place and, like, try and be a good person. Like, that's not going to help anyone. Like, I want people to actually seek themselves. So, yeah, way to do that, find someone that you know of faith or maybe that has some good answers to some of these questions and see if they hold up. I mean, dude, YouTube. You can be on YouTube for days.
Sure.
Look up a topic that you want to hear a lecture from. Check it out.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't look for stuff that is actually true because it's just going to require you to
like
be committed.
Or it's like Joe Rogan and, like, you know, you listen to these people that are so influential that are just... You have to listen to both sides.
You got to listen to both sides.
That's a cry in my heart. People would just listen to Joe Rogan or just listen to Christopher Hitchens. Like, dude, listen to PhD mathematician John Lennox. Listen to William Lane Craig. Listen to Peter Kreef. Listen to guys that are...
Listen to Father Leo shoot the shiitake.
Shoot the shiitake with Father Leo. Like,
no,
you're
I get
smart.
It.
I would point people to, like, reasons why you gave your life as a celibate man. Like, that's pretty radical. Go talk to a priest about that stuff.
Exactly.
Know what I mean?
And when you kind of experienced this moment, were you instantly a Jesus freak? Or at what point did you start going public
right.
with your Christianity?
I remember, like, starting to go back to... Like, so I was in community college right after this happened. I remember being invited to go back to some parties with friends, and I, like, wasn't getting drunk.
Okay.
And so I wasn't, like, in partaking, but I was at them.
Okay.
And people were, like, really questioning why. And I actually was just, yeah, those were moments where I started to get to share, like, why I'm not doing this anymore.
So, what did you say, and how was that received?
So the one fear I had, which I think most people do have, is that they don't know how to stand up for what they believe and
okay.
they don't have good answers. I personally felt like, man, if someone asks me, like, some deeper questions, this I don't have good answers. But I tried to just like share what happened and what has been like the progressive peace that I was having every day, the joy that I was experiencing, and they couldn't really argue with that.
So in other words, you didn't start like coming at them with apologetics or philosophy or theory.
No, I wasn't slapping them with Bibles across the face.
You just wanted to tell people what you experienced.
Well, I didn't really even need to get there. They just asked me why I wasn't doing the things they were doing as well.
Oh, did you make them feel kind of stupid or guilty or
simple? No, they would just offer me drugs or something like that, and I was just like, I'm good. And then they'd be like, wait, why? You were just doing this like a couple months ago. And then they'd be like, yeah, it's just not for me anymore. If they probe deeper, I'd be like, yeah, it was just... It was super awkward. I remember being super awkward.
It sounds awkward. It's like, how did you have fun then with them?
I got through it, you know what I mean? But then also, those friends didn't want to hang out. They weren't really my friends, right?
They didn't want to hang out.
No,
so in other words, even though you tried hanging out with them, they eventually did not hang out with you.
There was a separation point where I realized I can't associate myself with these people because, one, they're not bringing me life. They're not bringing me greater freedom, and they don't support the lifestyle that I'm
living. Well, how did you find friends? Because that sounds lonely.
Oh, it was very lonely.
Okay. So there's got to be a purging and a purifying and a real suffering.
Well, it's still lonely now, I'd say.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these moments are great. We're all together, but my day-to-day isn't with, like...
Awesome people.
Awesome people all the time. I mean, being Catholic is the most inconvenient thing ever.
Tell me about that, and just tell me what that means, because there's going to be times when you've been inconvenienced, and I want to get to that when we return.
Yeah, right. Well, so I think people are very afraid of being alone, and I feel like when I experienced that loneliness, like, I was hanging out with my youth minister, who is, like, not the most exciting person ever, even though now we're, like, best friends, you know, but, I was hanging out with my church people, which was, like, I didn't personally have a lot of things in common with, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Because they're probably older than you and...
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, it was just super lonely. And so that's when I was like looking into universities to where I could go. Because I was just studying music theory and like starting to lead worship at my church and really getting into these questions.
So your church, which you hated going to, you started participating
in. I started leading worship at the church.
Did the pastor even welcome you? Because some pastors would be incredibly, you know, suspicious of you.
Oh, he heard my confession of all my worst sins. Yeah.
Okay.
I experienced like mercy on a degree that I think every person should in this life.
So basically you developed a relationship with your church.
Correct.
And because of that.
But also God brought multiple people in my life, like three other guys. One of them was doing cocaine and playing rock and roll parties. And he's like, I don't want this life anymore. Just showed up at my parish. His dad was friends with my dad. I mean, so God brought people into my life.
Okay.
To where it was like, there's no way that could have just randomly happened.
So God has brought a lot of people to your life. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you about some of the weird things that have happened. Because I've heard rumors that God has brought people to you sitting on a plane to bring some healing. When we return with more Shoot the Shiitake, Alob is going to talk about some of the miracles in his life. So stick around.
And we hope you're enjoying this deep dish discussion on Shoot the Shiitake. And if you enjoy our content and our programs and you want to support us in any way, please go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. And if you want to learn more about all that I do, just visit me at my website at FatherLeoFeeds.com, where you could get the merchandise, learn about the trips, and just be part of this growing family that is creating conversations that lead to conversion. So for more information, FatherLeoFeeds.com, or to support us, and we definitely need your support, go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. I've got to clarify that with Alob, because he thinks that I'm saying shit the shiitake. Why would I say that on my
podcast? St. Paul said that.
No, it's shoot the shiitake.
No, but he used a word in Hebrew that actually can be translated to shit.
Yes, that's right. That's right. By the way, I heard a priest cuss. Oh my goodness.
I actually love when priests cuss.
Nah, I'm not into cussing, but I'm shooting the shiitake with you.
Great.
Because we are at a Steubenville conference. You are leading hundreds of young people to sing, to raise their hands. They all look like Jesus freaky hippies.
Yeah, it's great.
And you love that.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone asked you to do that when you were their age, you would have revolted.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're actually talking about Jesus publicly. And when we just took this break, you mentioned how God brings people into your life. What does that mean? Because it kind of sounds like you're on drugs.
God brings people into your life sounds like you're on drugs?
It does.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was just my experience. I was,
It's like, are you talking about all of a sudden people show and be like, hey, yeah, I'm looking for Jesus.
For friends.
Yeah, I mean, because that sounds weird.
It was people in my youth group that all of a sudden showed up that I did connect with.
Got
that
it.
Were on the same page.
So
that
in
we
other
go,
words.
That we could go surf with. You know, it was, we were playing music together.
So I'm trying to get to the core because there's so many people who are listening and they're kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But basically, you just remained open.
Right.
You kind of kept yourself open
and
to
I
the possibilities
I mean,
that
yes.
church people can be cool.
Right. And honestly, if you go into a bar,
yeah,
so many freaking weird people. I don't know why we've had this idea that like churches are just full of weirdos.
I know.
Dude,
life
bars
is full of
are
weirdos.
Freaking weird.
I spoke
some creepy weirdos in bars, man.
I spoke to a group of doctors. They weren't Catholic, and I was talking about things with the food thing, and I thought to myself, you guys are doctors, you got it all together. No, they are just as messed up as everyone.
Biologists, lawyers, doesn't matter where it is. It's like we're all strange.
We're all a little weird.
Yeah.
But you remained open to it.
The religious connotation is what I think really gets people angry,
yes.
and it's like that it's this real like wishful thinking. We're not reasonable human beings. We're bigots. We're haters. And it's like,
so what do you say to that?
I'd say you've actually probably just never talked to one that was actually a real Christian. You probably like this thing. It's like,
what's a real Christian, buddy? Just tell me, because you seem like a good Christian. What would be a real Christian to you?
I think a real Christian is honest and real with the reality that when we don't have all the answers, that actually Jesus. I mean, I think of like Mother Teresa and JP2. People of other faiths that were like talking to them.
Those are big names.
You wouldn't see them, you know, in an alley punching them in the face because they were like, you know, Islamic or something like that. Like the church is so welcoming.
Yeah.
Right? Like when I have conversation with people, I say, yeah, real Christians are willing to enter into friendship and relationship instead of just imposing doctrine, which I find a lot of Christians do. They just start with doctrine. You don't believe this, you don't believe that, well, we can't be friends.
So you kind of give a different quote-unquote brand to Christianity, and particularly
I think it's more close to what Jesus was like.
Tell me about that.
Like Jesus hung out with prostitutes and, you know, tax collectors.
Do you hang out with prostitute sinners and tax collectors?
I don't know if I've hung out with prostitutes
recently. I used to work with prostitutes. I had a professional relationship with them.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, from a priest?
No,
but like I actually helped counsel them.
I mean, I try and hang out with people that are not living in my sane worldview. I personally love it.
So God has put people in your life. I mean, we kind of know this story because we talked about it, but I thought it was so weird that it was worth sharing with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You are a miracle worker now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, but you
I've
have
prayed
had,
with people and seen things happen.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Set up the scenario. You're on a plane.
Yeah. Well, this all kind of started at Franciscan. It's like people started
which
to pray.
Which is a university.
Which is Franciscan University. It's a little private Catholic school in the middle of nowhere in Steubenville, Ohio.
Brought to you by Franciscan University.
No, I mean, I experienced the Holy Spirit there, which was more than just a theology. It was
a
person.
Oh, my gosh. You said Holy Spirit.
Right.
That sounds so
that
weird.
That means
to
I'm
people.
Charismatic. Yeah. I guess the Holy. Yeah. So, like, what is the Holy Spirit? I guess it's like the actual. The third person of the Trinity, which we claim that God is, you know.
Yep. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Which is a pretty insane revelation.
This is a really Catholic conversation, but the fact is there are other spirits out there and people have relationships with them.
Right.
Good ones and
I've
bad
seen
ones.
People use them. You know, it can be offensive to people, right? Because when you claim truth, it claims exclusivity, which isn't a bad thing. It's just actually what truth is.
I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Right.
So what do you say about that real quick?
I love to affirm people. I'm like, yes, you are spiritual. You're not just a clump of little molecules floating through the universe.
Nice.
You are spiritual.
Okay. So you got in touch with the quote-unquote
Holy Spirit. Which I found out as a Christian, he lives in me.
Nice.
And actually, I read in my scriptures that I would do the same things as Jesus and greater, which I didn't hear growing up.
Okay.
Also, Mark 16, you know, Jesus said these signs will accompany those who believe.
That's a lot of Bible you're talking about
here. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Here.
It's a lot. I'm just trying to give the reality of why I started praying with people.
Okay, because you read about it.
Because I read about it in my Bible.
And you wanted to give it a chance.
It seemed like...
That's key because a lot of people are automatically think that you're either going to get it or you don't. But see, you're just telling me that you had to make an effort. You had to stay open to friends.
Mm-hmm.
That you might have not been friends with. You had to actually pick up your Bible and give it a chance, read it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people don't do.
Well, we just stick on our phones and we make assertions that we aren't willing to be changed. And I love Anthony Flew, who says, you know, follow where the evidence leads.
Yeah. Okay, so you developed this relationship with the Holy Spirit and?
Yeah, we started like praying with people at Franciscan that were sick or ill or had pain. And like,
what does that look like, dude?
So like people...
They walk up to you and say, hey.
No, like in prayer meetings, all right? People are praying together, and if someone was sick or something, we would just put a hand on their shoulder or whatever hurt. And not every time, and that's not every time now either.
Yep.
But it's been enough to where I can't deny the fact that God does this. And if you look at the lives of the saints, It's in the lives of the saints.
Talking about people getting healed.
Yes.
Because of prayer.
Because of prayer.
I mean, even Johns Hopkins did a study about that, that people of faith heal quicker. Right. And we still have miracles.
Well, and that Netflix video on heal, it's all these multiple different, you know, avenues of healing that people are finding.
Yeah, I'm not on Netflix because they support abortion. I'm kidding with you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I still like Netflix, but I know what you mean. So, but there
I don't
is
have
a healing
it. I watched
reality.
On someone else's.
Yeah, you stole their
no,
password.
No, but people are constantly looking for sources of healing.
So tell me about that one experience, because I want to just get into it and then ask you a few questions.
No, it's great. So yeah, I was on this plane. I don't know where I was flying from event to event, and I love talking to people about God and faith.
Oh gosh, I would hate sitting next to you.
Oh, I'm that person you don't want to sit next to. I've gotten better. I've been quieter on flights recently.
Okay. But hold on. I'll be honest with you. You can kind of get away with it because you're just an attractive young man.
Yeah.
Like if I were just talking to people with my call, I'd be like, why is this little Filipino priest talking to me? So I don't. I just kind of keep to myself. They wind up talking to me.
Right. No, I probe, I ask, and if they don't want to talk, they don't want to talk, and I shut up.
Okay.
I mean, I just love hearing people's stories, man. Like, I don't try and evangelize to have a great story. I just love hearing people's stories.
Okay.
And so I was just, we were just sharing stories. And it's so easy. People ask, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm playing music. Oh, what kind of music? I have it down perfect. I play, that's kind of like an alternative rock sound. Oh, that's cool. Where do you play? I play at a lot of like faith-based events, you know, and like you either get like, oh, that's so cool, or like, oh.
And then they don't ask you questions anymore.
Because I don't say Christian music. Everyone has their own preconceived notions about Christian music.
Yeah, so in other words, you're really trying to make it relevant to where they are.
Or just turn off these like phrases that just evoke so much
emotion. Exactly, exactly.
So, but found out very quickly that she was a very strong atheist. And we just got-
How old was she?
She had to be in her 50s, I'd say.
Okay. Was she an attractive woman?
I don't remember that.
Okay, but was she kind of flirty with you? Was she cougaring?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right. I'm asking because it's a reality.
No, I
you've been cougared?
Oh, totally. Yeah, there's some babes out there for sure.
Oh, God, I vomited into my mouth.
No, I acknowledge beautiful people. No, but it was actually just very intellectually like rigorous, and she just went, I mean, very well studied. We were going through multiple religions, multiple evidence for existence of God, her reasons for not. I mean, so we're 2 hours in.
Jeez.
We haven't stopped. Take off.
Were people sitting around you going like, shut the faith up?
No, no, no. Huh. I whisper enough to where...
Okay, so, because I've heard loud conversations. They're annoying.
No.
So, another good thing, the reason why you're effective is because you're trying not to use triggered words.
No.
And you're also not being obnoxious.
No.
Okay,
and
so,
I share with people, it's like, I've found these truths to be evidence that point to my worldview being
right.
So
what happens? She asks you all these questions, you're going at it, and then?
She wasn't caving in on anything. I mean, she was just very staunch. Nothing seemed to sway her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I've seen God do things that are supernatural. Everyone loves the supernatural.
Sure.
We're obsessed with it.
Miracles.
We're obsessed with them.
I love
even
them.
People that don't believe them.
UFOs.
Yeah. Horoscopes.
Yeah.
Spiritual stuff. Psychics. Whatever.
Double rainbows.
Yeah. Oh my God. I flew through a rainbow the other day and I was thinking of that video.
It's a double rainbow.
It's a double rainbow.
We start crying.
Yeah. I almost did. So there was really there's no movement anywhere. And it was getting heated for sure. But
were you
getting
upset?
No, I don't get upset in arguments.
Okay.
Because we need to get back to the ability to argue ideas without arguing with, like, the person.
Nice. Okay.
Be able to argue just truth claims, because that's what it is. And that's what we did. And then I was like, okay, I've seen God heal people, and it's pretty profound to where, like, I can't deny that.
So you brought up God healing people.
Yes.
And then?
And then she's like, well, fine, I have pain in my foot, and I would like, you know, if God's real, like, pray for this, and if it's healed, I'll believe in him. And I'm like... Okay, you know, I was like, it's kind of freaky, because if it doesn't happen, then
what
if?
She said to you, if God heals her foot...
I'll believe in him.
Wow.
Yeah, so she has something wrong with her left foot in between her toe, something where, you know, bone-to-bone stuff, it's just always in 10 out of 10 pain when she's walking.
10 out of 10.
You usually ask where people's pain level are at, just so you can see how it is before you pray and after.
Okay.
And so I was like, great, so I kind of put on some music, we just kind of stopped the conversation, and... Got to baggage claim in Orange County.
Oh, but you said to her that's like...
I was like, yeah, we'll pray.
Oh, so she challenged you.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, straight up.
She said, you pray for me.
Yeah.
My foot gets healed.
Mm-hmm.
I will believe in God.
I showed her... I used to have social media, and there was a person...
You're
I
not on social media anymore.
No, I don't like it.
Okay.
I actually hate it.
Okay.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Well...
I think it can serve a good, but I think it's actually ruining a lot of our culture. But
it can. Absolutely.
I think it is. But so anyway, I showed her this person on my Instagram that was getting healed. And she's like, yeah, fine. If you pray for my foot and it gets healed, like, I'll believe in God. I was like, great. You know, and then in the back of my head, I'm like, crap. Like, what if this doesn't happen? You know, like, God, you really need to show up. You know, so we got to baggage claim, and she found me. Like, usually, sometimes these conversations, you have people disperse after.
Sure, they run.
She came right up to me at the baggage claim and was like, I'm ready to pray. And I was like, okay. Just put my hand on her shoulder, and I was like, can we just say a quick prayer? And she said, yes.
What did you say?
What was my prayer?
Yeah.
It's like, Lord, I just ask you to come with your Holy Spirit and heal her foot. And the first time I did that, I was like, okay, go walk and check it out. She just started walking, and then her, like, her eyes started to like get really big, and she's like, the pain's like leaving. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's not me. You know, like, I can't do this stuff.
Sure.
And, but she said the pain was still there. I was like, okay, let's pray one more time. You know, Jesus prayed twice with a guy who had, you know, mud on his eyes.
And sure.
It's like, if Jesus prays twice, I should probably pray twice. Pray the second time.
I think he prayed a lot.
Yeah, I probably should pray 25 times. But the second time just said, yeah, more Holy Spirit, ask you to fill. I don't know what I said. Holy Spirit, come, Jesus, heal her foot.
Uh-huh.
And the second time she started walking, all the pain left. And she thought the evidence was compelling enough to give her life to Jesus. So she, in the airport right there, I just walked her through a
So wait,
a
she gets healed.
Yeah. She's freaking out. I'm freaking out.
Everyone should be freaking out.
Yeah.
Because you're a punk who used to do drugs and you play Christian rock.
Yeah. And I don't pray enough and I'm not perfect. And yeah.
And so this wasn't just her getting excited because a young man was touching her shoulder and praying over her.
No.
So she literally got healed.
She said that all the pain was gone.
She said.
I was like, is this enough for you to like give your life to Jesus in this moment? Like, is this compelling enough? And she said yes. I walked her through like a prayer.
Uh-huh.
And she gave her life to Jesus, you know.
Now, have
and
you I, stayed in touch with her?
No, that's the thing. I was
Why
so
would
in
anyone
shock.
Believe you then?
Totally. I was so in shock. I have other stories of like staying in contact with people.
Okay.
I have enough of like even x-rays and lots of great stuff like that.
So you
like
do
follow
have
up with doctors.
People should find out about it. You've got to get back to social media and just make that your happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
but anyway, yeah,
she
it was,
does get healed.
Yes.
So can I ask you, what do you think she's doing with her life right
that's
now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The sad part is right now I don't even know where you would send her after something like that. Like, hey, go find a local church and try and get connected to, you know, God in that way. To me, it's just a lot of unanswered questions, things I probably should have done that I didn't, you know, but it was like, it was so awesome. I was just like, that's amazing. And then she had to go, you know, her like ride was there to pick her up.
Mm-hmm. Did you kind of like say bye?
Oh, we
Any
hugged.
Hugs?
And,
okay.
Oh, we hugged.
Crying?
And she was very startled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy if you have pain and then you don't.
Well, I think that's it. There's parts of our faith that we just don't tap into.
Yeah.
And I think healing is one of them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to talk about because you are not a typical healer.
Right.
I mean, do you think that that's your quote-unquote thing to do / gift?
Well, yeah, gift, I say I just step out in it more than others.
Okay. And you do just walk up to people and say, let's pray together.
Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but I do.
Wow. Does that make friends for you?
I mean.
Because that's so weird, dude.
Yo, it's totally weird.
I'm a Catholic priest and I don't say that.
Oh, I know. No, I don't just like walk around and go pray over people.
Okay. It's just when you develop a relationship,
but it happens.
You hear it. Yeah.
No, it does happen though.
You just walk up to people and say.
Oh, I've done it. Yeah. I've done
like
that.
Even your Uber driver?
Dude, I've prayed with so many Uber drivers. It's amazing. And it doesn't happen every time.
Uh-huh.
But the conversation just comes up, you know. And yeah, I prayed in tongues with one of my Uber drivers once. He was some Christian guy and he was like super charismatic. He's like, bro, you just want to worship right now? And he just went into tongues. And I was like, let's go. Like,
he was. We're going to have to talk about that another time.
Yeah, that was
only
crazy.
Only because what I wanted to just introduce people to you and also the fact that miracles happen.
Yeah.
What happened in your life.
Yeah. And I think the miracle, obviously the greatest miracle, is what you do on the altar where Jesus becomes bread and wine and the forgiveness of sins. I mean, these things are really cool and they're awesome, but I would actually encourage people to look into the claims of our faith, which is like, dude, you get to receive Jesus in the Eucharist.
Yeah,
which,
that's
like,
more
that's a pretty amazing
than and the greatest miracles.
And even the one, I mean, there's more people I pray with that nothing happens.
So we are going to, when I come back and share my carryout order, I'm going to kind of unpack miracles. But before we kind of close this, because this was awesome, thanks for joining me. What can I do as a Catholic priest to be a good priest for you? How can I be a good priest for you, Alob?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never got that question before.
I know. That's why I do
this. So good. And now I'm trying to think of something. I mean, I guess the first word that comes to mind is like mercy. Like when priests are really merciful, when I'm just like beating myself up because I know the standard of holiness I should be or sanctity I should be. I think when I experience mercy from a fatherly figure, it's like so healing of it's like a very healing experience. Like, yeah, I say like a merciful father, which I guess is the father and the prodigal son, right?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I need to be more merciful because God has obviously been merciful to you. Andrew Laubacher, A-Lob. And you can find out more about him because he's going to get back on social media at some point. A-Lob
Music is the website.
A-LobMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when we return, I'll be back with my carryout order after we shoot the shiitake a little bit more. We'll be back in just a moment.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for my carryout order after talking to A-Lob, Andrew Laubacher. I just get so inspired. I mean, I'm honestly so blessed to have the opportunity to, first of all, speak for the organizations such as Steubenville University. I've spoken for the Augustine Institute and some of their materials. And they kind of tap into the same platform of speakers and presenters and musicians. And what I really carry out, my carryout order really is to make sure that we're encouraging young speakers to follow us. You know, I'm getting older and Andrew's like half my age, you know, so we need young people to kind of pick up the ball and run with this evangelization mission and ministry. And who are the people to evangelize? Sometimes the least likely. To be honest with you, I'm not the most likely Catholic priest. I've said this before many times. My brother should be the priest. You know, he's like nice and patient and loving. He's just a nice guy, you know, but I'm it. You know, God sometimes calls the unlikely, and Andrew is one of them. So if you've got one of these kids, parents, who you just think, my God, what is happening to my family? What is happening to these kids? They're not going to church anymore. Here's what I recommend you do. Don't just start talking at them. You might want to talk with them about the faith if they're willing to, but to be honest with you, they probably aren't going to want to talk to you, but maybe they're going to be willing to listen to some of these dynamic speakers and presenters on the circuit. You know, Andrew's parents gave him the experience of a charismatic renewal presentation. They were unabashedly not afraid to allow their son to experience the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I think what we've got to do is give people experiences, whether by putting them on a pilgrimage or sending them on a retreat or something like that, but make sure that the Holy Spirit is very much a part of it. And the reason is because a lot of times people want to just educate and catechize, but you really need to have the inspiration, in spiritus, of the Holy Spirit. And so I think giving your kids an experience of the Holy Spirit in powerful, beautiful ways changes us from within. And guess what? It does encourage you, and I think this is a beautiful thing. It helps you to tap into who you are and what your gifts are. You see, like A-Lob, he could have just been a dude for the rest of his life, just smoking weed and hanging out, but he's actually taken all of his gifts, including his gift for music, and he's turned it into something where he's actually reaching more people than he ever would have. He could still reach stardom, like, you know, top 40s fame. But right now, he's not only reaching out to as many people, but he's doing it in a personal way with a more powerful mission. In other words, he's not drawing people to himself, he's drawing people to God. And so, you know, part of my carryout order is just making sure that everything that I'm doing as an evangelist, it's not helping you to get closer to me, but hopefully I'm helping you to get closer to God, who wants to satisfy you and feed you with the best of food, namely the Eucharist, which I have a perfect recipe for. It's called the Mass. And that's the other thing too, is A-Lob, you didn't get a chance to really see him in action, or maybe you have, who knows? But to see his reverence in Mass, so this is a carryout order for me. Like, he takes contemporary music and he makes it appropriate and prayerful for the sacred liturgy. So he's using his gifts and talents, bringing people closer to God at the concerts. But at Mass, he's doing the same thing, and just, it's always God-directed. And that's why I think he does have, to some degree, a gift of healing. The guy's got some chutzpah, and it was kind of powerful to hear how he was able to just have this blunt conversation with the woman, make this promise, kind of like Elijah, and just go right to it and pray over this lady. She obviously felt some sort of healing, obviously. And do I believe him? Yeah, I do, actually, because I've experienced similar things myself, from myself and from other people who have experienced great healing just because of praying to the Holy Spirit. So you never want to leave the Holy Spirit out of that. So really, that's my carry-out order, super simple. Grateful for these opportunities, making sure that we're giving young people experiences that are dynamic, making sure the Holy Spirit is a part of it, because that Spirit is certainly going to give you a chance to discern your gift and how you're going to use it for the glory of God. And guess what? Your gifts are powerful. Just praying over someone, we have no idea how powerful that can be. It just requires us to trust. So that's my carryout order. I want to thank Andrew Laubacher, A-Lob. You could find him at Steubenville conferences, and he's, I think, living in Steubenville now. He's not on social media, so you're not going to find him there, you know, but God bless him for that. And I'm just grateful for him and for our sponsor, Catholic Speakers Organization. They provide some of the best presenters and musicians and apologists that any organization can ask for. You just learn more by going to CatholicSpeakers.com. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, thanks for listening and stay hungry.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.